Shalom and blessed be the name of the Lord. We want to look at chapter 2 of the book of Ezra, and we want to do verses 1 all the way to 35, because here it's talking about the exiles who returned with Zerubbabel. So we want to see the census of the people who returned with this man of God called Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the king. Zerubbabel was the governor. He was also called Sheshbazzar, because when the Israelites were taken to a foreign country, those Babylonians gave them heathen names like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are not their own names. These were names given so that they can be made to become the Babylonians, so they could be able to be used there. Now here, we basically want to see the power of census. Census is the counting of everyone who returns. There's a difference between census and sample. Sample is when you count a few people from the majority. Maybe you take a small part of the population. If there was 100 people who are returning, if you'd only count 5, or even 90, or even 99, this is a sample. But if you are to count everyone who came with all the details, that's called the census. So the very second thing we want to look at, after seeing how God moves the heart of the king so that he can be able to bring the people or to prepare the building or the rebuilding of the temple of God, we want now to see the place of census. Census is the counting. And here, when you read the list here, this is verses, chapter 2 has got 70 verses. Now, when you start reading, you discover it is really full of, you can get bored. And some people don't want to read. But I want to open your eyes today. And I want you to see that when the people returned, they had to justify why they are coming back. Can I ask you a question? If today you are living in another country, if the country you are living today is another country, you are born there, it's not your native country, and you remain there for over 70 years. And then at the end of 70 years, there's a proclamation from the king or the president or the prime minister of that country who says, now return to your own country. Would you return? Would you be able to move from where you are? I want to tell you for free, it's not easy. It is the hardest thing to do. Why? Because you do not know another place. Some people know that this is my only home. Some people are born into exile. An exile is a place of false worship. Exile is a place of racism, where people are hated, where your people are hated. Exile is a place where you have no freedom to worship. Exile is a place where there's a lot of witchcraft. It's being honored, and people work through witchcraft. Witchcraft is control and manipulation. Exile is a place where you don't do what you want to do, and particularly where you cannot worship the true God. Can you imagine the Israelites remained for 70 years without going to a temple, without going to worship in the house of the Lord? Now, no wonder this is where synagogue started in Babylon. Synagogue, which is called a gathering, they started gathering in small groups. This is about the zones, just to come and worship God. And living in exile was a very hard place to be. Do you remember when the king would give a command that everybody worship his image, and whoever is not going to worship the image is going to be thrown in the lake of fire? Do you remember how they threw the three Hebrew boys into the fire because they refused to bow? If you think that Babylon is a nice place to live, I want you to go back and read the book of Daniel. It was very hard. Do you remember Daniel being put in the den of lions? Why? Because he refused to bow. He refused to do what they were doing because he worshipped his God. Because he would go, he would worship, he would kneel three times a day and face Jerusalem. Babel, exile, captivity is a very bad place to be. Yet, when God said it's time to leave, people don't leave easily. Can I tell you, captivity is equal to sin. And you'll be able to understand that sinners, it's not easy for sinners to leave sin, because they're in captivity. And you keep on seeing that some of the reason is because they have got a stronghold that holds them. Some hold that's so strong that cannot release them, allow them to come. They have held their hearts and their minds. And they have been able to mingle with the sinners. But when it was time to come, we now get chapter 2, where they were able to censor or to record everybody who returned. I want to divide it into three parts, and I want only to do one part today, and we'll be able to do the rest of the part. And we want to see that the first group that returned, the first group of exiles who returned, was Zerubbabel himself. If you're writing, you can write, Zerubbabel was the first one. Look at this. In the Bible says, here is a list of the Jewish exile, that's chapter 2, verse 1, of the province who returned from their captivity. They came from sinner or from sin. It's an example of people being born again. This is the best example. King Nebuchadnezzar had deported them to Babylon, but now they returned to Jerusalem and the other towns in Judah where they originally lived. That's where they are returning. The names were Zerubbabel. Then he gave other names. So the first person who returned was the governor. It is very important to talk about the governor. When people are returning, when sinners are returning back, apart from the heathen king and the hand of God that quickened the people, that stirred the people, we need the place of a leader. We need the place of a pastor. We need the place of an apostle. We need the place of a man and a woman of God. And particularly the person who is bringing them to model, to guide, and to give a vision, to give direction, to supervise what will be done, and to be able to silence any division, and to be able to really, you know, supervise and give a vision on all this. So the first one was Zerubbabel. Then number two, category number two, which is in verse 1 and 2, is about the leaders. God moved the hearts of leaders to come back. I praise God for those leaders. And I want to ask God that God may touch the leaders to come back. Now, from verses 2b all the way to verses 20, we now see families. These are the families of leaders. If, for example, I'm coming from Babylon, I need to convince my family that we need to come back. This is why in areas where it's a matrimonial community or patriarchal community where the man is the head, You know, there are some families where a woman is the head. They are called matriarchal communities. In the patriarchal communities, I want you to know that it would be good to target to that man. Because when that man comes, he will be able to convince his family to come back. This is what we see here. The second group that came after Zerubbabel and the leaders who are not there is the families. And he gave a number of families. When you look at some of the families here, you have the families of the leaders who returned and many others. Because this is what is given here. It's a census. Praise God for the families. You see, the purpose of Satan for all the time is that he keeps on allowing the men to return and their families, their spouses, and their children to remain in captivity. Even in Egypt, when Moses was asking King Pharaoh to allow people of God to go and worship him, Pharaoh said, "Men, go alone. Leave the women. Leave the children." So we must say no, and we must say we'll go together with our families and our children and our spouses. Now, the third group or the people, as they returned from verses 20 all the way to verses 35, which, and you're going to stop there, is that the people are identified with their cities. You see, while people were there, I want you to know this. Cyrus did not ask everybody to move from Persia to go to Jerusalem. And so he also wanted a list of the people who are going. And he wanted Zerubbabel to convince him that these are the people who are supposed to return. Some people will not be able to convince that they were Jewish. And so some of them were refused to be given, an assignment, especially for priests, as you are going to see, much later. But everybody who wanted to come, God allowed them to come. But anyway, what we're talking about here is that some people who could not identify themselves with anything, they could only remember the cities where they came from. Remember, these were the people who were going back and registering and saying, "This is my name. This is my wife. This is my husband. These are my children. I came from this tribe." Some people not even remember where they came from. They had lost identity. So we are looking at some of the way people can identify themselves. When you talk about that you need to identify yourself, you say some people would identify themselves with their leaders. "I remember my leader." Some people can be able to identify themselves by their family. They can talk about, "I'm a son of so and so." And you can see here, they talk about son of Aram, son of Zetu, son of Zakai, son of Bani, son of... You can identify with your father, with that lineage. But some people would not even remember that. They would only identify themselves through the cities. Like, for example, if you are a Kenyan, let me give an example. And you have been taken captive, you have been living maybe in a foreign country, let's say Somalia, and you are told to come back to Kenya. You cannot remember anything. You can only remember, I was from a city called Nairobi. I was from a city called Nakuru. I came from a city called Eldoret. I came from a city called Kampala. I came from a city called Jinja. I came from a city called Johannesburg. So from verses 21 to 35, they were identified by their cities. I want to ask yourself, if you are to return, would you know what identity you have? How can you identify yourself as a man of God, as a woman of God? Is it the city? Is it the family? Is it by your leaders? Now, that was the first elements that help us to identify ourselves. Tomorrow, we'll see more, and the next day, we'll see more. May God help you to identify yourself with God. Is it his family? Is it the cities of God? Is it the families of God? Is it the people who worship God? How do you identify yourself as a man of God, as a woman of God? Father, help us not to lose our identity, even when we are taken to captivity. Help us to preserve this by the grace of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.